He'll see me. I'll make certain of that. It took an effort of will for Nick to pull his gummy eyelids open. The party had been glorious, but now it was morning and the fun was over. Claire had to pack her few belongings and get aboard the clipper ship. She was curled next to him in the bunk, sleeping soundly with a beatific smile on her lips. Nick struggled up on one elbow and squinted at the digital clock.
"It's 9:20," he yelped. "Good Lord, Claire, you've got to dash."
She opened one eye and snaked a bare arm around his neck.
"Married hardly more than 18 hours, and you're already giving me orders."
"But the time."
"Relax," Claire said dreamily. "I'm not going anyplace."
"Not going? What do you mean, not going?"
"I'm staying right here with you," she said,
opening both eyes at last.
"But you can't do that." "I gave my boarding papers to Ellen Burson," Claire said,
"last night while the rest of you were getting blotto and rocket juice."
"You what?" "Ellen's got a boyfriend in Philadelphia. My boyfriend is right here."
"You can't do that," he repeated, his voice high, panicky. "They'll stop her at the rocket port."
"No, they won't. And even if they do, I decided I'm staying right here with you."
"But they'll force you."
"Nobody's going to force anybody," Claire said quite firmly. "And if they send some goons from security, I'll put up such a battle they'll be afraid of harming the baby."
"You're crazy."
"Over you, sweet face."
"But you can't have the baby here. It's not allowed." She smiled knowingly.
"Nick, there's a first time for everything."
"But..." He ran out of steam and sank back on the pillow, defeated, yet delighted.
"It was during the wedding," Claire said, "when the Archbishop said that bit about cleaving together. I made up my mind then that I'm not going Earthside until you can go with me."
Staring up at the low ceiling, Nick said, "There's going to be hell to pay over this." But he was grinning from ear to ear. Day 39. Joanna deliberately took the seat at the end of the long conference table, where she could look directly at Rashid up at the head. Every member of the board was present in person, even old Magruder in his powered wheelchair and its bulky life support system. The old man was still waiting for a heart donor. He was more heavily wired up than an astronaut, Joanna thought. Rashid and Tamara Bonai came in together, not exactly holding hands, but obviously happy to be in each other's company. Joanna seethed. "If that little tramp has gone over to Rashid's side, I'll..." She stopped, not knowing what she'd do, or what she could do. She had told Doug to woo Bonai and win her over. It looked as if Rashid had done it instead, and there was nothing Joanna could do to counter that. The conference table was buzzing with whispered conversations, board members catching up with the latest news and gossip among themselves. No one spoke to Joanna. She sat as if in an isolation ward down at the foot of the table. The murmurs died away as Rashid sat down and smiled brightly at the board members. "I'm delighted that all of you could manage to make it here in person to this special meeting," Rashid said in his slightly reedy tenor voice. "Including you, Mac." From behind his oxygen mask, Magruder rasped,
"Couldn't keep me away from this one if you tried, my boy. When all this nonsense with the UN is over, I'm going to Moonbase and get some of those nanomachines to fix my heart."
He broke into a cackling laughter. The other board members joined with him politely, all except Rashid, Joanna noticed, who sat with his original smile frozen on his face. Max on our side, Joanna knew. She had been feeding him information on nanotherapy for months now.
"There's only one item on the agenda," Rashid said, "and we should be able to take care of it fairly quickly."
All the heads along the table swiveled to Joanna.
"Since you called for this meeting," Rashid said to her, "and it's your resolution that we're here to discuss, why don't you give us the formal reading for the minutes, Joanna?"
She didn't bother even glancing at the display screen set into the table before her. Joanna said in a clear, strong voice,
"Resolved, that Masterson Corporation exert its best efforts to support the political independence of Moonbase."
A dead silence fell upon the boardroom. Finally, one of the white-haired men halfway up the table asked,
"You mean we don't support Moonbase's independence?"
"Why should we?" a woman board member asked. "Because if we don't, Joanna answered before anyone else could reply. We stand to lose the clipper ship manufacturing to Japan.
Japan?
That's not entirely fair, Joanna, said Rashid.
The clipper ship product line belongs to our Kiribati subsidiary, doesn't it?
How's Japan going to get it? I assume you mean Yamagata Industries, not the Japanese government.
They're pretty close to being the same thing, Joanna said.
I don't understand how Yamagata can take the clipper ship manufacturing away from us.
But we don't manufacture them. Kiribati does.
We get the profits, don't we?
Wait, wait, Rashid called out, motioning them to silence with both hands. Let's go through this calmly and logically.
Joanna immediately said, We set up Kiribati Corporation to get out from under the nanotechnology treaty.
Yes, and then the damned islanders signed the treaty anyway, said one of the men.
Suddenly he realized that Tamara Bonai was sitting across the table from him, and his face reddened.
Ah, sorry, he mumbled. No offense intended.
Bonai looked directly at him as she said, Kiribati was forced to sign the nanotech treaty by unbearable pressure from the United Nations. We never expected the UN to try to extend the treaty to Moonbase, however.
Where do you stand on Moonbase's independence? Asked the woman sitting next to Bonai.
We have been assured that Moonbase's political independence will not interfere in any way with their contractual agreements with Kiribati Corporation. Therefore, we support their independence.
Several people along the table nodded.
Bonai added, What we fear is that the UN will turn over all clippership manufacturing to Yamagata once they have thrown us out of Moonbase.
Rashid's face clouded.
There's more to it than that, he said. Much more.
The core of this issue, said Joanna, is that the UN's fervor to force the nanotech treaty on Moonbase is a sham, a cover-up for turning the base and all its operations over to Yamagata.
And that includes manufacturing clipper ships with nanomachines?
Yes, certainly.
Magruder swiveled his wheelchair slightly toward Rashid.
You knew about this?
I found out about it, Rashid answered.
And what are you doing about it?
Rashid took a deep breath.
I am trying to lead this corporation to a new level of profitability, and to a new product line, while we make a greater profit than ever from the clipper ships.
He had their full attention now, Joanna saw. Leaning forward intently, Rashid said,
I want to negotiate a partnership between us and Yamagata to produce nuclear fusion power plants.
We went over this 10 years ago, Magruder rasped.
It was 8 years ago, and we made a mistake then, Rashid said hotly. Let's not repeat the same mistake. Fusion power will be a multi-trillion-dollar business. This corporation has a chance to get in on it. One chance, take it or leave it.
Forcing her voice to remain cool, Joanna said, So you're offering Yamagata the clipper ship product line in exchange for a partnership in their fusion program?
Fusion can be profitable if it can be fueled by helium-3, which can be mined on the moon, Rashid said.
Then why don't we mine it ourselves? Joanna asked. With nanomachines, we can produce helium-3 at a fraction of Yamagata's costs.
It's time you stopped clinging to Moonbase as if it's your personal nursery, Rashid snapped.
She felt his words like a slap across her face.
You've been carrying a grudge for 8 years now, Omar. Ever since this board voted to back Moonbase in preference to your ideas about fusion. That was a mistake, and we have a chance to correct it. By giving up Moonbase and allowing Yamagata to take the clipper ship line away from us. We own the patents, Rashid countered. Yamagata will pay us royalties, while our costs go down to zero.
One of the women muttered, Yamagata will pay us royalties until they figure out how to reverse engineer the clipper ships and come up with a manufacturing system that's different enough from ours to break our patents.
Which will take a year or two at most, another board member said.
Not if we merge with Yamagata, Rashid said.
Silence again. They all looked stunned, Joanna thought.
A merger makes perfect sense, Rashid went on more calmly. Our combined corporation will be the world's leader in aerospace transportation and fusion power. Your stock will be worth 10 times what it's going for now, even more.
I will never vote to merge with Yamagata Industries, Joanna said, her voice venomously low.